May the Lord help us. Commence this evening service by singing hymn 888, tune 555. No wit or will of man, or learning he may boast, no power of reason can draw sinners unto Christ. So fallen is nature, such her flaw, none come except the Father draw. Hymn 888, tune 555.
and read this evening three portions from the Word of God, commencing with Psalm 91. The 91st Psalm. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. A thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honour him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. For he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Now we'll turn to Paul's epistle to the Ephesians and the last chapter. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 6. Commencing to read at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore take unto you the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with it you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Dear Lord, we come to Thee. We are utterly dependent upon Thee as we approach Thy mercy seat. Grant a spirit of prayer this night. We seek, dear Lord, that Thy kingdom may come, that Thy will may be done in earth as it is in heaven. We pray Thou would use the foolishness of preaching to the accomplishment of Thy divine purposes, in the feeding of Thy flock, the gathering out of Thy family, out of nature's darkness. Lord, in that work of the Spirit, that miracle of grace, that there may be fruit to Thine honour and glory, that Thy great and holy name might have all the praise. We pray that power may attend the word, even the power of the Holy Spirit of truth, that Thy word may have recourse and be glorified, that a hearing ear may be given, that good seed may be sown in good ground, bring forth fruit in Thy own ordered time and way. Lord, we seek the work of Thy Spirit, that one day, in Thy own divine time and purpose, there may be a harvest. We watch as one by one those whom we have known and loved in the bonds of the gospel are taken from time into eternity, knowing, Lord, that each one of us must one day pass that way. And, O gracious God, we seek to be in possession of those things which will remain, those things which cannot be taken from us, that which is Thy word. O come, Holy Spirit, and speak in the hearts of the hearers with divine power. May Thy holy word find a resting place in their soul. May it even mark, never to be forgotten, and may thy work be carried on as thou hast promised it will be. I will work, and who shall let it? Lord, Zion is in a low place, a very low place. Yet we thank thee that thou hast not left us. Thou remainest. Thou changest not. But Lord, we pray that thou wouldst work in the churches, work in the hearts of the hearers, work by thy Spirit in this place. We'll be conscious of the mercy extended here in the church. Lord, in the work of thy Spirit, the gathering in. Lord, we seek that thou wouldst work again and again, that there may be that which shall be brought to fruition in thy own time and way. Gracious exercise, constraining power in the soul, the work of thy Holy Spirit. Lord, that thy name might be honoured and glorified. That there may be, as we have known in this place in generations past, witnessed it here and so many taken to glory. They were led. They were fed. They were taught by thee. They were established in the truth. They grew in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ their Lord. Tribulation was sanctified. They profited from it. Then, Lord, thou didst perfect them in thy own time and way, and prepare them for glory. Sanctify the pathway to them. And, Lord, we pray for the young here, as we watch them and have watched them over the years, that thou wouldst work in their heart. And in thy own ordered time and way. For Lord, thou hast divine purposes and set time. Then there is a set time to favour Zion, in accordance with thy own divine will. And we pray, Lord, thou would favour Zion here. Thy dear brother at the desk. Help him in the responsibilities of the church. Lord, we've watched his pathway. Oh, we pray that thou would support and sustain him in felt weakness and in his need. And oh, grant him answers to his prayer and his love for this place that he has known throughout his life. Lord, we pray thou would sustain him in his loved one. And oh, look down upon the preaching of the gospel here. Oh, may there be the anointing of thy Spirit as thy servants come and go. May scripture be fulfilled, Paul may sow, and Apollos water, for God give it the increase. Dear Lord, what we pray for Zion, here we pray for Zion in our land. Thou seest how low the churches are come. The gracious God, we believe there is a following generation growing up about her. Those in whose hearts thou hast planted thy truth. We pray, gracious God, that they may be used in thy own ordered time and way, made a benefit and a blessing in Zion, that there may yet be a generation raised up to serve thee and to call the Redeemer blessed. Oh, look down upon all thy sent servants. We thank thee for sending young ones into the ministry of thy holy word. Lord, we pray that there would be to each one of them all they stand in need of. They will find that every time they stand up in thy holy name, their need will be greater. The feeling of weakness greater. But Lord, thou art faithful. Thou changest not. But oh, we pray for grace. Being able to trust in thee at all times. To pour out our heart before thee. Be to us and each of thy servants all that they stand in need of. May they prove the sweetness of the truth. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And dear Lord, we pray thee, that thou would send other labourers into thy vineyard. Those whom thou hast eternally ordained to the work. Those who may carry this burden of the word of the Lord and feel they may never go, so unfit, so unable. But Lord, when thou dost send a man, thou dost bless his labour, strengthen him, support and uphold him. Dear Lord, we pray in this solemn time in which we're living, that thou wouldst uphold and support thy dear servant, and send forth others in thy own ordered time and way. Dear Lord, look down, we pray thee, upon the prodigals that have gone out. We never forget them. Dear Lord, put forth thy mighty power, manifested in returning prodigals in the churches. We live to witness so many go away from the churches, turn from Zion's way, and yet, Lord, thou art able to bring them back. And we pray that thou wouldst manifest thy power in returning prodigals, that they may be given in their hearts the solemn realization of the husks that the swine eat, the husks of this world, the husks of false religion, that which will not stand in that great day. And they may turn again to their Father's house, to their Father's God, to the throne of grace, to the preaching of the gospel, and be gathered into the churches. The Lord, we are well persuaded, returning prodigals, when brought back by thy Spirit, are the strength of the churches. For they know where they have been. They know how they have returned. They know why they have returned. They know the power that has brought them back. Lord, build up Zion. Oh, establish her. We live in days of prosperity, material prosperity. We live in days of spiritual dearth. Thy hand is not shortened. It cannot save, and neither is thine ear heavy that it cannot hear. But our sins have come between us and our God. Dear Lord, we have nothing to bring to thee, and much to mourn over. Worldliness, carnality, overmuch taken up with the things of this world. But Lord, in thou dost sanctify tribulations, how they bring us close to thee. We pray in Zion that thou would sanctify tribulation, that they may come forth from their tribulation bettered by the cross, that it may leave in their hearts a lasting effect, never to be forgotten, separation from this world, and a following hard after thee. For thy dear people in sickness and affliction, age and infirmity, weakness of mind and body, bereavement, and many of thy dear children are walking in sorrow. But gracious God, it is the path thou hast promised thy church. Through much tribulation ye shall enter the kingdom. The dear Lord, we pray, there may be an entering into the truth. Tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of Christ is shed abroad in the heart. Dear Lord, grant in the churches a spirit of prayer, spirit of wrestling prayer. The arms of thy servants may be upheld. We're living in solemn times, and the clouds of persecution are drawing near to us. are all about us. And the enemy of souls goes about as a roaring lion. And Lord, we are defenseless. We're no match for him. He knows our every weakness. He is the tempter. Lord, he fires those fiery darts into the heart. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And thou hast counseled us, as you read in thy word this night, to take unto us the whole armour of God. Oh, may we be enabled to do it, taught by thy Spirit, established in the truth, brought to thy mercy seat, having a shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Oh, speak in our heart. Grant to us each those exceeding great and precious promises, that we may have a sword of the Spirit and be able to say to thee, Lord, thou sayest. Dear Lord, we pray for this nation at this time. Thou seest the heathen darkness. Thou seest, Lord, the great falling away. Thou seest the godlessness, the abandonment of thy holy law, the total desecration of thy holy day. Thy people are but a tiny remnant. They despise. The enemy rises up. And Lord, we see in our land great darkness. The young grow up in the midst of it. And Lord, thy people are becoming marked more and more. They're becoming a small minority. Dear Lord, we pray, we may be given grace to stand in this evil day, and having done all, to stand. Oh, may we have, by thy Spirit's teaching, our loins go to bait with truth. May we know thee, Lord Jesus Christ, who art the way, the truth, and the life. May we find our rest in that rock, Christ Jesus. Lord, as here is the time in this nation, we approach this coming election. Corruption in high places we have witnessed, great evils. We've seen the love of money. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst raise up God-fearing men in our National Assembly and Parliament. Upright men, men of integrity, to be thy sovereign will. Oh, this nation deserves thy wrath and thy judgment. We believe we are under thy judgment, solemnly under them. Gracious God, we pray, thou'st have mercy upon us. Oh, in wrath, wouldst thou remember mercy. One said, turn us again. We shall be turned. Turn this guilty land, Lord, to thy holy word, thy holy law, thy holy day. And oh, grant an outpouring of thy Spirit upon the preaching of the gospel. Bless the spread of thy holy word. O Lord, this nation now has abandoned thy holy word. The gracious God, we pray, that thou wouldst draw near and do what thou hast in generations past. Grant an awakening. We pray for those in authority over us, the Queen, the heir to the throne, the Prime Minister, his cabinet, our Parliament. Dear Lord, thou hast counselled us to pray for those in authority over us. We see, dear Lord, in the coming day, thou wouldst have mercy upon us. Preserve to us our national sovereignty. Preserve to us our Protestant Reformed heritage and constitution. All in serious attack upon them. For our liberties, Lord, are slipping away from us. Preserve to us our freedom of worship. Freedom of speech. Oh, have mercy upon us. Come on us now, Lord, this night. We come to thee and seek thy face. And seek, Lord, thou wouldst remember. Once again we seek the power of thy Spirit to rest upon the foolishness of preaching. Lord, touch our lips, that I call from thy heavenly altar. Grant that thy dear people may feed upon thy word. Fill our earthen vessel, as we would seek to commit all into thy dear hand, thanking thee, Lord, for every mercy and blessing, at least thy holy word, and a desire to be found in thy house. O, feed us then with the bread of heaven. Apply thy word in the heart. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 769, tune 681. Jesus, Jesus, o'er the billows steer me, be my pilot in each storm. Hold me fast and keep me near thee, for thou knowest I'm but a worm. What concerns me, by thy power and love perform. Hymn 769, tune 681.
direct your attention this evening to the book of Zechariah, reading from chapter 2 and verse 5. Book of Zechariah, reading from chapter 2 and verse 5. Christ says, the Lord will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Christ says, the Lord will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. This first part of this verse speaks of danger. And it speaks of protection. The wall of fire here, which God would put around his dear church, was to keep them and protect them. I was reminded of the prophet Elisha at Dothan. The city was besieged and surrounded. And he was stood there with the young man. And the young man's reaction was, what shall we do? And the prophet's prayer was this, open the young man's eye. The Lord did. And he had such a sight of the protecting angels of God surrounding that city. The blessed mercy, when in our own heart and life, we're brought to realise our danger and have a sight of God's watchful care over us, his protecting mercies, this wall of fire round about. There's another aspect of this wall of fire, and that's this. To protect us from ourselves. Evils of our own hearts. The tempter works upon our fallen nature. He fires those fiery darts into our hearts. He would set the place ablaze with temptation. And Scripture has solemn examples of this. The very dawn of creation, when he tempted Eve, and they both fell. What a solemn work was the work of the adversary. He came with those words, hath God said, casting down on God's word. And God had prepared a wall of fire round about Adam and Eve. And we read of it in that opening chapter of Genesis, the seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head. There was to be an unseen protector yet ever at hand. The Lord had divine purposes to protect his people from total destruction. They'd be cast into hell. And he had prepared this blessed wall of fire round about them. A saviour. Divine purposes in election. The spirit of truth to go forth. To bring them to a knowledge of themselves and a knowledge of himself. And to make them solemnly aware of their danger. the dangers of their own fallen nature in league with hell, and the solemn danger of being cast into eternal darkness forever, and bring them to feel their need of a Saviour, a protector, one who would keep them. The Lord has promised here that to his dear church be a wall of fire. He has come here into this earth to do battle with the adversary of soul. He has come here to be that mediator between God and man, that healer of the breach. He has come here to protect his dear people from the wrath of his Father against their sin. A broken holy law. Is the Lord to you a wall of fire? Do you dwell, as we read this evening, in the secret place of the Most High? Is he your refuge? Had he not kept you? We all have our besetting sins and temptations, which varied amongst each one of us. We know them. We know our danger. We know what these fiery darts of the wicked one are. A solemn and awful reality. He is a bitter foe. He would cast our souls into hell. It is a solemn matter to do battle with him. We shall realize that, left to ourselves, without the divine help of God, we shall fall. So many solemnly fall. I think at this moment of Judas, numbered with the 12, sat down to the Last Supper, solemnly went out and betrayed his master, went and hanged himself, repented of what he'd done, but it was a solemn repentance. Peter, what was his weakness? Overconfidence. Confidence in himself. Pride. I'll go with even unto death. Now he is a case of a wall of fire round about him. And we see one of the aspects of it, and that is this. I have prayed for thee. Oh, the Lord was to him. He saw what was going to happen, the Lord did. He knew what he was going to do. He warned him. Self-confidence had to be removed. And the Lord watched over him while he denied his Lord with oaths and curses to his face. The adversary, Satan, hath desired to have thee, that he may sift thee as wheat. What a solemn expression. Left, we would be sifted as wheat. The Apostle Paul, in that chapter we read in Ephesians, had a sight of the enemy of soul. He knows where to fire those fiery darts of the wicked one. He had a measure of his power. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, It's not humanity. It's not men and women who are the danger. It's not those about us. But we wrestle. And he speaks of it here in this chapter. We wrestle, he says, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And this is a solemn word, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The margin reads heavenly places. It's in the hearts of God's dear people, in whom he has begun a work of grace, like the sweet psalmist of Israel, like his dear servant Peter. Spiritual wickedness, heavenly places. The Satan comes to God's dear children to overthrow them. Then he lures them, as he Adam was lured and Eve was lured. He ever is the same to lure God's people and bring them down to shame. And if he could, to Judas's end. Well, Judas went out and committed suicide. Peter didn't. He went out and wept bitterly. A wall of fire. His God was there. He was his refuge. He had prayed for him. And he was to die for him. He speaks of that wall of fire in his experience. Who his own self bore our sin in his own body on the tree. He knew Christ as his Saviour. Christ as his Redeemer. He knew the Lord Jesus Christ had borne his sins in his own body on the tree. It's a beautiful word, I think. The emphasis is so sweet. Who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree. A wall of fire. Oh, how the Lord in his death and in his resurrection and his ever-present intercession, the right hand of his Father, interceded for his dear servant Peter and for so many more of his dear people. He has watched over them from eternity past. He came here to be a wall of fire round about them, to protect them from themselves and the curse of God's holy law and a tempting adversary. And when they fall, a remedy prepared, a way of salvation, a path of repentance and godly sorrow, a path of coming to his mercy seat to plead that precious blood and to seek to be washed in it. You've sung of it this night in your hymn. A word very precious to me some years ago in great trouble. Jesus, our eternal lover, says his word shall never fail. Oh, a wall of fire. He is ever about us. Do we know it? Do we know our danger? Or do we think we can stand in our own strength? Do we look in wonder at all the way the Lord our God has led us? Preserved us physically in hours of great danger. When we could have been killed. Wall of fire round about us. His dear people, the apple of his eye. He will never leave them nor forsake them. He watches over them. He keeps them morally. Oh, how we see this. in the scriptures. The solemn fools, God's dear children. Deceitfulness, we see it in Jacob. Abraham, all the sin. Temptation, solemn weapon of Satan. Tempt God's dear people. Bitterly tempt them. And not just at the beginning of their lives, but all their journey through. Fill their hearts with evil thoughts. Draw them away. Bring them down in bondage and guilt before their God. It is his work. And he's a subtle foe. We are no match for him. We need this wall of fire round about us. We need the protecting hand of our God. We need his prayer for us. We need his keeping hand. We need the whole armour of God. Wherefore take unto you whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand and not fall in the evil day, and in all the conflict, having done all, to stand. Oh, to be kept. When we make a profession of his holy name, oh, to be kept, bringing shame and disgrace upon ourselves. It is a real conflict, a bitter conflict. It'll go on to a dying hour. The tempter will tempt his God's dear people to unbelief and disobedience, defiance of God's will. From the very dawn of creation, that was his work. His dear people are fallen creatures in Adam. They're weak. They need this divine protector. They need this guardian, one to keep them. They need divine guidance and leading. And in the unequal battle, wrestling, not against flesh and blood, they're told in Scripture to fight the good fight of faith, to lay hold on eternal life. It is the lots of God's dear children to walk this path of tribulation out. The world knows nothing of it. The easygoing religious world that can give their souls to the Lord and be satisfied with a mere profession of his name know nothing about this conflict. I was speaking once, many years ago now, 50 years ago, to one about how low and dark I felt and how tried and tempted. And their response was, you want to look up. Stop looking down. It was so easy. All you got to do is look up. Well, that is true. But you know, something that God's dear children need is the Lord to look down upon them. To speak in their hearts. And to keep them. They may be kept, beautiful word, by the power of God, through faith, unto salvation. That they may be surrounded by this wall of fire, and often have a sight of how great their danger has been, morally, physically. Twice in my life, I have been in great danger of death. Once, as a student, when I was coming back from some theatre performance in worldly days, on the Pelling Pass on a motorbike, which went head on into a car, straight into a car. I was thrown across the main London road in Leicester with buses all around me. I never saw how great my danger had been. I look back now to see this wall of fire. And the second time was when I was doing my army service in Germany. We were set to march for 15 miles in deep snow. A bright winter's day, glaring the light was. We were marching in groups of six cross-country in Germany with our heads down. And suddenly there was an explosion near us. And a whole lot of debris fell around us. And we veered away from it, thinking we were in the gun ranges and a shell had landed nearby. But as we moved, we suddenly became aware that we had been on the edge of a quarry and they blasted the face. And in a moment we would have gone over that quarry to a drop of 400 or 500 feet. What had happened was the snow had come up to the barbed wire fence. The snow had risen to it, the depth of snow. We hadn't seen the fence, but the hand of God, a wall of fire. But when we come to temptations morally, what an enemy Satan is. We need this whole armour of God. We need our eyes up to him in heaven. We need to be brought into that lovely hymn, "Make us well our weakness know. Keep us very, very low." We need to be solemnly aware of our danger, to be on our guard. The Lord himself, when here on earth, was tempted by Satan. He permitted himself to be tempted by Satan. What a path that was, you know. He entered into conflict with Satan. Satan's temptations are suitable to God's dear people, and they were suitable to Christ. Command these stones and be made bread. I said it was suitable to Christ. He could have done it. Oh, how the adversary worked. But what was the way the Lord answered him? It is written. The word of God. It is written. And you see, when our loins are girded about with truth, as the apostle speaks in this letter to the church at Ephesus, and when we have in our hand the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That is the word of God that the Lord has spoken in your heart and mind, if ever he's done it. That is what he said to us. That is the exceeding great and precious promises he's given to us. That is the sword of the Spirit. And we can say, "Thou saidst to me." And the Lord gives these precious promises in the hearts of his dear people. They're the bond between Christ and his church. And they're to be leant upon, rested in, pleaded at the mercy seat. What a promise the Lord gave to his servant Jacob at Bethel. "I'll be with thee." That's enough, isn't it? All his life afterwards he said, he could say, "Lord, thou sayest, I'll be with thee in all places whithersoever thou goest, I'll not leave thee. Till I brought thee again to this place." Bring him, he did, to that place. And then his brother came to kill him. But what happened? He could plead that promise then. Oh, what a wall of fire he had about him. What a blessed promise, sign, sealed in his heart. It was his forever, never to be taken from him. Have you got one? What has the Lord said to you? How vital that we have those things which cannot be taken from us. Those things which God has wrought in us, the shield of faith. It's the gift of God. Do we possess it? What do we know of the reality of faith? Faith is the very avenue to glory. It's the avenue to heaven. It's the avenue to God. Have we ever been at his mercy seat, pleading with him in prayer like Jacob did at Brook Jabbok? I'll not let thee go. I've nowhere else to flee. Here is the wall of fire around God's dear people. It is the sweet bond between him and his church. What he has said must be fulfilled. On this firm rock, believers build. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. My mind goes to another case, and that is Job. The Lord permitted Job to be tempted of Satan. He originated that. Hast thou considered my servant Job? He allowed Satan to tempt him, but he said, touch not his soul. He was to work in his heart in tribulation. Little did Satan know what he was doing. He was totally blind to what he was up to. He thought that he would bring Job down to disgrace, to deny his God and to turn from the truth. And he went to work with delight. What was God doing? Well, he was taking away from Job every false prop, every vain hope, stripping him of his self-righteousness, bringing him down in poverty, in need, to lean upon Christ. He was intending all that time, while that terrible conflict went on in Job's life and heart, to be around him as a wall of fire, touch not his soul. Oh, how the Lord works in paths of tribulation, bringing his dear children down, giving them heavy crosses, bringing bitter sorrows into their life, putting a cup, solemn contents, bitter cup, in their hands, all for their eternal welfare, that they might enter into the sweet experience of the protecting hand of their God. This wall of fire round about them. And as many as the fiery darts of the wicked one come into their hearts and souls, yet they are given grace to fight that good fight of faith. The Lord has established them in the truth. Their loins are girt about with truth. He is the glory in the midst of them. Yes, here is the conflict with Satan. Here is their fallen nature. And yet here is their God. His Father's holy law kept in every iota of it, in thought, word and deed, by Christ. A fountain open for sin and uncleanness when they fall, as we read in the 51st Psalm. Somewhere to go for refuge. Here the Lord has prepared a way for them to escape. And he stands between them, the adversary of souls. Then he protects them. He has promised he'll never leave them nor forsake them. But when we come to look at this, the glory in the midst, yes, a robe of righteousness, a fountain open for sin and uncleanness. Oh, his righteousness, not theirs. That was the lesson Job had to learn. Stripped of all his righteousness, there had to be a glory in the mirror. In the psalm we read of that bride of Christ, the daughter of Zion, being clothed in a robe of needlework. You know, as a blessed figure of the righteousness of Christ, and his work here below in his sacred humanity, walking this earth, keeping his Father's holy law, walking through a bitter path of suffering and sorrow, that his dear church might have the raiment of needlework and stand before her God, glory in the midst. It was of wrought gold, that raiment. And so it is. If we are to stand in the presence of Almighty God, the glory must be his. It must be his righteousness. It must be the fountain of his precious blood, known in our heart, cleansing from sin. Beautifully read of it in the book of the Revelation, the bride hath made herself ready. To her was given that she should be arrayed in fine linen, white and clean. For fine linen is the righteousness of saints, not their righteousness, imputed righteousness. A wall of fire. Oh, I see in this wall of fire the love of Christ for his dear church. There is that which he has to pass through himself. The fiery path that he walked here in this earth, that he might be a wall of fire to his dear people. And that when they reach glory, they will have one who stands between them and his Father's holiness, majesty, and broken law. And as the hymn writer says, in garments dyed in blood, 'tis he instead of me is seen when I approach to God. And I go back to the beginning, and the word of God in this, I, saith the Lord, will be. Divine purposes. The Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Eternal Son of God incarnate, prepared, come here into this world to take into union with his deity. Here's the wall of fire. A body and a soul. And to offer that body and that soul. As John Bunyan says, I believe in his holy war. He offered himself for us, body for body, and soul for soul. We read of that offering of his body in the New Testament. And in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, we read of this, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. Oh, this wall of fire and the glory, they're all in the person and finished work of the dear Son of God. He has determined that his church should never be destroyed, never be lost. She may fall, but she's ransomed from the fall. She will be delivered and kept. We see the beauty of this world. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. He himself was to enter into this solemn fire of suffering sorrow, that his people might live. He was to be that protector, the keeper of his saints. And he was to deliver them and gather them one by one to glory. There is then a conflict. And we need that whole armour of God. We need one of the most blessed parts of it, our feet, shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The Lord, when he was here on earth, spoke my peace I leave with you. And that peace is the peace-speaking blood of Christ in our heart. And it will bring us to that place where known and felt that Satan cannot touch us. We know the peace of God, that our sins are washed away. Oh, how vital that we know it. How vital that we have it. And Peter had it when he fell. He knew that precious blood. He knew the rock, Christ Jesus. He heard the Lord say, upon this rock I'll build my church. He had a good foundation. Ask yourself tonight, what do I know? What has the Lord done for me? What has he given me? What has he spoken to me? What do I know about the battle? What do I know about the conflict? And what do I know about the protecting hand of my God keeping me? Solemn temptation. Solemn weaknesses. Solemn thorns in the flesh. Solemn besetting sins. And yet, in the Lord's deep, mysterious hand, for the good of his church, as it was for Job, the Lord led him in that solemn pathway and, as it were, let Satan loose in his life, that he might bring his dear servant down to dust and ashes in his sight. Behold, I'm vile. Make him well his weakness know. Keep him very, very low. And at the same time, bring him to a place where he was ready. I was going to say ripe. A place where he was ready to receive that blessed word in his soul. Christ revealed in his heart the hope of glory. And to be able to say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. To enter into that lovely hymn, redeemed with Jesus, that's experience. Redeemed with Jesus' blood, redeemed. His beauties call to trace. No angel can with it compare. A sinner saved by grace. Oh, vital. If we are to have any peace, any glory within. Oh, the love, the compassion, the divine purposes of God in sending this wall of fire and his dear Son to defend his people from the curse of his holy law and from the powerful temptation of the adversary of souls, and to bring them in that great day to stand spotless before his Father's throne, to be received, to know that he is their God, and have a solemn, sacred, blessed sight of how he has protected them, kept them, led them in all their folly and foolishness and all the dangers that surround them. Solemn danger. Physical, temporal, spiritual. A tempting adversary. The reality of it. Oh, I believe God's dear children know the battle and the armour. They know the battle. Wrestle not against flesh and blood. Take unto you the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, no error, taught by the Holy Spirit, your feet shod, the preparation of the gospel of peace, to know peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, to know a little sweet taste of that peace, speaking blood in our soul, and to have the shield of faith, whereby we are unable to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. words, the Lord's words to his people, we do well to remember them. Simple words, but they're these: resist the devil and he shall flee from you. Oh, how often we listen to him. Follow his temptation. These are inward, not necessarily outward. The adversary of souls comes deep into the soul. But the mercy is, resist the devil. Oh, look, wield that shield of faith. Look to God and plead with him to help. Resist the devil, he'll flee from thee. And he does. And there are times in our heart's experience when we feel surrounded by this precious wall of fire. The adversary cannot accuse us. He cannot attack us. And why? Because we know a little of the sweet blood and righteousness of Christ. And with it comes peace. Oh, wielding the shield of faith. They're the reality. The fiery darts of the wicked one. And to have the helmet of salvation. Blessed shield and defender of our God. Oh, that sacred helmet. Saved. Saved by God. Brought down at his mercy seat to know the helmet of salvation. And peculiarly in the conflict, to have a sword. Have you got one? What has the Lord said to you? What has he spoken to you? Well, I tell you this, it'll be like the words of the Lord when he spoke to Satan in his hour of temptation in the wilderness. It is written, silenced him. And if you have something you can plead that the Lord has said to you in your life, which can never be taken from you, one of those exceeding great and precious promises, you can say to Satan, it is written, thou hast said. Lord, that will silence Satan. Oh, the need of a sword of the Spirit, that we may wield it in this bitter conflict. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Amen.
Hymn 967, June 348. God of my life, to thee I call, afflicted at thy feet I fall. When the great water floods prevail, leave not my trembling heart to fail. Hymn 967, June 348.
Thank you.
the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit, abide with you each. Amen.